Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
Thank you for tuning into our boardroom chat today. And Kathy, let's get a little controversial.
Okay.
You ready?
I think so.
You like being rich?
Yeah. kind of like
it. Took her a while. Did you know that?
It's better than being poor.
That's right. I want to talk about it's okay.
It's okay.
To be rich. But actually, there's something better than rich. It's called wealthy. See, a lot of people have a rich lifestyle, you know, in a big house and driving nice cars, and they may have a good salary or whatever that they work for. But then if they lose their job or something happens, they can go down. But if you're wealthy, which is beyond rich, it don't make a difference what anybody says. You just sit down and rock. Now, that has been a problem with the church, if anybody that was blessed. For millenniums.
It's actually been taught
that
it was wrong and unspiritual.
Right.
And they look down on the rich.
Well, you know, we have a father of faith, and his name is Abraham.
He was very rich.
Abram, and I want to talk to you. Let's go to Genesis 13. I want to start with verse 1, and I want you to understand something. Number one, you never fall in love with money, because first thing first, you don't have time. Because when you fall in love with God, there's so much to do, you ain't got time to fall in love with anything else. And it's just literally the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus talked more about finance than he ever did anything else about finance and money.
Offerings.
And yet they thought he was so poor, and he was not. And in all his life here on the earth, 33 years, he never had a financial deficit. You never find out that Joseph and Mary had a financial deficit because they paid their taxes. If you do any Roman history, most people were indentured servants to Rome, and they didn't pay taxes because they didn't have enough money. But if you had some substance, and he was a carpenter and had a business, mm-hmm. you had to pay taxes. So let's go to Genesis chapter 13 and verse 1, and I want to start reading it. I love this. It says that Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich. So I would call that wealthy. That's beyond rich.
Definitely.
Notice what he was rich in cattle and in silver and in gold. Now, those are physical things.
Yeah, it wasn't just spiritually rich.
No, those were actual physical things. Cows, you know, a bunch of cows out there.
Yeah, now, the Amplified Bible says, now, Abraham was extremely rich.
Extreme. That means wealthy.
In livestock mm-hmm. and in silver and in gold.
Yeah. Now, I want to make this announcement. If you think about God, he is more than extremely rich. Everything he has, he creates. And if he doesn't have it, he'll create it. Now, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, and I'm already making somebody mad because it's controversial, but that's all right. That be you therefore imitators of God.
Right. You may be making some mad, but you're helping others. Yeah. You're setting them free.
As dear children. Now, one thing I believe in is helping the poor, but I believe in something better than that. I don't want them to stay poor.
Amen.
And, you know, President Reagan said something many, many years ago. He said, if you pay people to be poor, they'll stay poor. You got to give people incentive. There's two words I like to use, motivation and momentum, to get out of the rags of life, to do whatever it takes to accomplish what God has called you to do. We live in an economic world. I've never seen a ministry, the ones that don't believe in prosperity, not take an offering. None of them.
They don't receive an offering,
but they keep a bucket in the foyer that you can drop off something like that, which is kind of crazy. You're receiving something there, which is okay with me. But you see, now, there are some people that take this message, and I honestly believe, and I'm going to say that there's no such thing as the prosperity gospel. They came up with that. Prosperity is in the Bible. This is the gospel. The word gospel means good news, spiritually, physically, financially. Well, what about the people that are poor? What about it? What about the people that are starving? Let me help you. That's not God's fault. That's man's inhumanity to man. Right now, if you go to some of these places, especially in America and other places, those big corn, the cylinders, bins, they fill them up to the top, and they got so much on a great harvest that they pour it on the ground. No child should ever be hungry in any way, shape, or form. But because they don't have any money, they starve. Now, what happens is, I don't care if you're in Africa or you're in America, God creates people and gives them talents. And they have to be taught those things. It's like a child. They need to be taught those things. And like I said, you don't fall in love with that, because see, you fall in love with God, you ain't got time to do nothing else but the kingdom of God. But since we live in an economic world, it costs a lot of money. Now, Abraham was very rich in cattle, or extremely rich, like Kathy says in the Amplified, and God is beyond that, extremely wealthy. You see, so there's nothing wrong with having money, but there's something wrong when money has you. Now, that's a problem, because then you fall in love with something you should not. All money is a tool to do whatever it takes in life to accomplish that. Well, I'm trying the best I can. Got to stop that. You got to do the best God can. You see, for years, I tried to make this work. And about the first 4 years of my ministry, then I realized that was wrong. This is His ministry. I'm going to work for it instead of try to make it work. And all of a sudden, God began to bless us in the city, in the field, going in, going out. And He started out, and He said, "You, what do you have in your hands, Jesse the Planet?" I said, "Well, not much, a seed." He said, "Well, what are you going to do with that?" Now, you see, if you eat seed, you have no harvest. You plant your seed, you get a harvest. Everybody knows this. I'm just going to give a little a preamble to what I'm wanting to get to here. And so I'm not moved when people criticize me because of my substance or Kathy's substance, whatever. Why? Because all I'm doing is what God said I could do. And that be like Abraham, a father of faith. Also, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, where? On earth, in earth, as it is in heaven. And ain't nothing poor up there.
Well, that was a fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham
in
the previous chapter.
Right.
Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, he says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation,
Amen.
And I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing."
That's my whole point. See, when you begin to receive substance, you should be a blessing. And let me give you an example, and I don't mean this to sound arrogant, but it just came up in my mind. We just passed Easter a while, not too long ago, and I love Easter. It's such a blessing, you know. I love the children getting the chocolate eggs and all that. And some people get mad because you have a bunny rabbit. What's wrong with a bunny rabbit? I ain't never seen a ugly bunny rabbit. They're cute, you know what
they're
I mean?
Adorable.
And, yeah, they're just nice, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, to make a long story short.
My daughter has two bunnies.
Oh, yeah, and they love her, and she loves them. It's amazing, crazy rabbits. You know, to me, I think of them in a stew.
Crazy rabbit.
Kathy said, Joe said, "You ain't killing the rabbit,
no,
Dad."
No, you're not.
Oh, I love pan-fried rabbit. Oh, that's good. But anyway, to make a long story short.
You didn't need to say that.
I shouldn't have said that, I guess, but I couldn't help it. What happened was we went out to eat dinner at a nice restaurant for Easter, me, Kathy, Jody, and my granddaughter, Meredith, had a wonderful time. We just enjoying ourselves, you know, and celebrating. My son-in-law couldn't be there because he was on his job. He had work and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, our waitress was wonderful, blessing. It was just perfect. And something began to stir up in my spirit. Now, don't get mad at me when I say this. This is not arrogance. It's just, and I thought, man, this is Resurrection Day. We should be we are celebrating something, but more than just us. And I begin to think, what can I do to be a blessing like Abraham that you just read in Genesis 12? What can I do to be a blessing? Well, I'm paying for the meal and things of that nature, and that's what, you know, that's what fathers do and grandfathers do is a blessing.
Although we made a joke that Meredith was going to pay.
Meredith is now 18 years old.
And now she's an adult, let's let her pay.
Yeah, just give her the check. She goes, oh, you know, that kind of stuff. So
it
watch
was
this.
Fun.
I paid for the meal and I gave a real nice tip. What was her name? Lori? Is that her name?
Yeah.
Wonderful person. And it hit me. Now, there were people in the restaurant. I said, I know what I can do. So I had Lori. She always usually waits on us when we go to this wonderful restaurant. Great friend of mine owns that restaurant, blessing of the Lord. And I said, "Lord, bring all the waiters and waitresses to my table." She said, "What?" I said, "Bring them all here." I said, "Also the cooks." She said, "The cooks?" I said, "Anybody that's working in here, bring them to my table." I think there was about
12, bus boys,
all that. She didn't know what to do, but I knew exactly what I was doing. I don't know if you knew what I was going to do.
I had an idea. We've been there before.
We've been there. I was just such a blessing. I want to be a blessing.
We've done it before, I mean.
So watch this. They all come in here looking at me. I don't know 95% of those people other than Gloria and the owners. And I said, it's Easton. I want to bless you. And I had brought some cash with me, $100 bills. So I gave each one of them $100
bill. But you didn't have, you asked for money.
I said, Kathy, give me
just
your money.
Just in case.
Kathy, I got a little money. You know what I'm saying? I said, give me all your money. I'll give it back to you when
so
you get the house.
I was part of the blessing.
Oh, yeah. When I say me, I mean us. You know what I'm saying? It's like the us phone, not an iPhone, us phone, you know, us family. So the waitresses went, what? I said, Happy Easter. They didn't know what to say. The bus boy didn't know what to say. I mean, I said, no, just Happy Easter. I just want to be a blessing. No, I mean, I did it. And I guess it cost me, what, about $1,700 or something like that, whatever it was. But it was so wonderful. It was so wonderful. I really believe if Abraham would have been there, he'd have done the same thing. Because, you know, I know that God is physically there. He would definitely do the same thing.
Let me just read this.
Wait, let me finish the story, then you can read that.
But it's important.
Okay, very important. Keep it there. So watch this. So, man, we're about ready to leave. I stand up, and I bump up against a man. And I look at him, and I said, are you an employee? He said, no, sir. I said, well, you in the right place at the right time. Here's a $100 bill. He goes, my God. He didn't know what to do.
I was already out the door. I didn't know that.
It was wonderful. Now, go ahead. It's important.
Well, it's the same verse we read in the Amplified, but I'm going to read the verse 2 and 3, Genesis chapter 12. It says, and I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you with abundant increase of favors and make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. And then verse 3 goes on to say, and I will bless those who bless you, who confer prosperity or happiness upon you, and curse him who curses and uses insolent language toward you. And in you will all the families and kindred of the earth be blessed, and by you they will bless themselves. So this is a beautiful promise.
I did
promise.
That. I actually
you did that.
That.
Dispense good to others.
I became very famous for a few minutes in that restaurant. They just couldn't get over there. Me and Kathy, we just want to be a blessing. Now, I did it in front of my granddaughter.
Yes.
I wanted her to see that. I did it in front of my daughter. Jody knows me. And, you know, she said, boy, Daddy loves to give.
Yeah, and Meredith grew up here seeing that.
Seeing all these things. Now,
remember that time on Mother's Day when we went to a restaurant and they were very slow getting us our food?
She was only about 7 or 8 then.
Yeah, they were very slow. In fact, they were delayed because I think our food got sent to another table. We had a big old table, maybe 15 people, but we were all waiting. We were starving like over an hour of waiting for our food. And then what did Meredith tell you?
I said, you don't need to give that waitress a tip. I said,
because he knew you.
But the waitress wasn't the problem. What happened is some other waitress picked up our food, and I guess they ordered the same thing from another table and brought it. So it was the cook's messing up. And I said, Meredith, that's not right to do that. That ain't her fault. We're going to be a blessing to her. And she may be a mom. So definitely on Mother's Day, you ought to be blessing the mothers. You understand what I'm trying to say? So she saw this on Easter. Now, people criticize me because I am a blessed man. I don't take your money. It's mine. I work it. You know what I'm saying? I have investments and all kinds of different things. Anyway, to make a long story short, it was such a blessing to be a blessing. So I just did Genesis 12. Well, if I could do that on Easter, I can do it next Easter or next Christmas.
Every day.
Any day. So Genesis 13 says that he was very wealthy, extremely wealthy.
Right.
And that's okay as long as you don't fall in love with that.
Right.
Now go with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 30. I want to show you something. People say, oh, but Jesse, you get slammed all the time about, you know, finance or whatever, you know. And I say, well, it doesn't make any difference what they say. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I have a scripture for it. Psalms chapter 30 and in verse 6. And when they criticize me, let me tell you what I say. I say Psalms 30, verse 6. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. You can say what you want. You ain't going to move me because I am imitating God, like Ephesians 5, verse 1 says. I'm imitating the father of faith, which is Abraham. Now, you say, but maybe you can't do that. Maybe not today, but one day you will. Why? Because you're God's child.
Mm-hmm.
And God will bless you, especially if you're a giver. You know, and you know, I've always was a giver, even when I was a sinner, as a child.
Very generous.
I was very generous. Now, that's Psalms 30, verse 6. But now, I read something else in verse 31, verse 23. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful, watch this, and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. In other words, God rewards me. And you know how I got my reward? Last night. I didn't think nothing about it. Now watch this. I mean, I just wanted to be blessed Easter. We go to a pizza joint. We sit down, I invited some friends. I said, let me buy y'all a meal. Oh, no, they tried to buy. I said, no, I just want to be a blessing, you know, and just sit there. And we pizza place. In the pizza place, people behind me walked up and gave us $400 in those cards that you put. Now, you ever been to a pizza joint, somebody give you $400? That's just the beginning. And then I realized something. I didn't even tell you that when I was thinking about that last night. That's because me and you blessed those people there at that restaurant for Easter. And automatically, just coming back. Boom, 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 boom. Now, you ready for this? Oh, I'm going to shock you now. So that was, excuse me, that was a night before last, because we're taping this here. Yesterday, I had $10,000 given to me. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. What did you do with that? Now, that's $10,400 given each person $100. I gave it to my ministry, to the work of the Lord. And I know he's going to do some more again. Good Lord. How many times I tried to outgive God? And I couldn't. And I literally have done my best sometimes. And you can't do that. So he plentifully rewarded me fast. And so people want criticizing me, telling you this story, but I'm a very honest, open man, me and Kathy are. But I will not be moved when people say, that's not this, that's not, because there's no such thing as the prosperity gospel. It's the gospel. Prosperity is in the gospel. Salvation gospel, healing gospel, you know. We try to kind of put them in sections and chapters, but really, it is just simply the gospel.
It's all over the word of God. In fact,
Kathy, it's actually God. This is God in written form. Go ahead, get that.
Psalms 112 is another great one.
Read it.
It says, verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth.
Amen.
The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. I love that. That's so powerful. It's a great promise. It's forever. Wealth and riches are a promise and
it's amazing to me.
Those who delight in God's commandments, who follow the Lord.
Well, what about all the poor people? What about it? Let's do something about it. Not just giving them money. Show them how to make money and help them. Because I'm going to tell you something. All them people out there in Africa, India, and all that stuff, they probably got a lot of talents that the world could use. But people look down on them. I don't look down on nobody. I'm not impressed with people's riches or with their poverty. You see, I just want to be a blessing. And if I can, I will. Now, you know, when I say something, I get people say, well, can you send me something? You see, now you're trying to work the, you don't work that. What you do is work your seed, work the scripture. You see what I'm saying? And allow the scripture to work for you, and it will bless you. See, so when people want to attack me about my house or whatever, the plane we fly, whatever, that doesn't move me. Because you know who gave me that house? God Almighty. You know who gave me that plane? God Almighty. That devil ain't never give me a house. He ain't never give me nothing but trouble. So I don't receive any gifts from Satan. So when he starts his trouble, I go, I'm of the God class. I didn't say I'm God. I said I'm of the God class. I'm created in his image and his likeness. So it's okay to be wealthy. It's okay to be rich. Call it what you want. But be a blessing and don't look down on somebody or make yourself think you're better than anyone else. Because I don't like that stuff and neither does God. What do you think, Kathy?
I love that. You know, I have a lot of commentaries in my iPad here. And Dakes has a great study Bible, and his commentary on verse 3 is so powerful.
Verse 3 of Psalms 112,
which said, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endure forever. He says, here God sanctions wealth and riches for the righteous man. He says, how foolish to condemn riches and class rich men as wicked just because of their prosperity. Wealth is a blessing if used as God intended.
That's it.
It was God's original plan that all men be prosperous, he says, and use all things in creation for their own good and God's glory. It is still God's purpose, and when the Messiah reigns, every man will sit under his own vine and fig tree,
Amen.
Which indicates that there will be universal peace and prosperity. And he gives several Old Testament quotes there.
You think Dakes got that from me?
No.
No.
I know he didn't.
No, I know he didn't. I probably wasn't born when he wrote that. But when you understand what this is all about, I had more fun at that restaurant blessing the busboys and the waiters and one man that just happened to be at the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It showed the heart of God, not the heart of Jesse.
That's so good.
It showed the heart of God. That's what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen. So you ministers out there that think we are heretics, well, you're wrong. What we are is Bible-believing people. You see, from Genesis to Revelation. Actually, I take it a little further. I even go to the maps. Look at the maps at the back of the Bible, whatever. I want everything in this script, in this Bible, to be inside of me to minister the word of the Lord. Now, I'll tell you one thing. You know, most people dress up, you know, for Easter and things of that nature. Son, did Kathy dress up. She bought this beautiful my favorite color is turquoise. I just love turquoise, you know. She had this turquoise outfit on, and everybody in the church, and everybody was saying, oh, Pastor Kathy, this thing is beautiful. They were talking about it last, when we went to the pizza joint. That outfit you had. Now, you know, that didn't make me feel, That made me feel proud. Did you buy it for her? No, she bought it herself. You know, online, I don't know what she does. That's not the issue. But I didn't say, you're too pretty. That's just too nice. I was so proud that people gave her compliments and comments about how nice she looked. Ain't nobody said nothing about what I wore, you know, and I did have a coat and tie on it. It's Easter, you know, all that kind of stuff. And but I mean, it was a blessing. It made me feel wonderful. And then when we was at the pizza joint, they brought that up, the people that were eating with us. And that blessed me again. Now, I'm saying that to this, when God, so when somebody gives you a compliment, you believe in this word, it blesses God. It says, "Oh boy, my children do look good." And I remember years ago, I love it when people dress up their children, little ones, and their grandkids, and people go, "Whoa, look how pretty that dress is," or "look how pretty," whatever they're wearing, a little man with a little suit on or something like that. He might be three, I don't know, you know. It blesses the parents. It blesses the grandparents. Now, I want to tell you something, and you're going to get mad at this. God gets blessed, look at me, when I'm blessed, because I'm his child. Do you understand what I'm saying here? This ain't about money. It's about, that's just the small part of it. It's about being like God.
Amen. Amen.
In every which way, shape, or form. He didn't put Adam and Eve in a trailer, beat up, busted, used. He put them in a beautiful garden. My Lord, can That's you imagine right. walking in that place and seeing that?
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't say, well, they look so good, they might take attention away from me. No, it brought attention to God.
Right.
In a good way.
Amen.
Do you see what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying. So I look at poor people. I don't look down on them. I think here's an opportunity, not only to be a blessing.
But to teach.
But to teach them how that is a curse.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a blessing. That's a curse. And if you get enjoyment out of starving children or people that are homeless that don't have nothing, you need to get saved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something wrong with you. See what I'm saying? And everything. And now, you know, and I know it's happening. I remember years ago when I was a small boy, you didn't see many homeless people. If you saw somebody on the street, I remember they used to call him a wino. I didn't know what a wino was when I was a little boy. I had no idea. They never heard the homeless people. Just a wino, an alcoholic who couldn't help himself. you know, and things of that nature.
Because our lifestyle just brought them into poverty.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes people need help.
Right.
I mean, we had a lady one time come when Jerry Savelle was living. Me and Jerry were preaching a meeting in Savannah, Georgia. And she came in her car.
Augusta,
Georgia, excuse me. Her car and her children. No money. She drove her around. Just enough to get there to hear us preach. We didn't know about it. She was going to sleep in the car. You ready for this? We happened to walk, and her car broke down. And me and Jerry were walking out. And Jerry said this many times in his sermons. We found out about it.
Told the story, you mean?
Yeah, he told that story. And I said, so Jerry said, Rodney, that's his son-in-law, get her car towed to the place and fix her car. The lady didn't know what to say. And I said,
I think the little child said, Brother Jerry,
yeah, Brother
will
Jerry,
help us.
Could you help us fix the car? Because Jerry was a good mechanic, you know. And that's when he said, well, I'm going to just pay for everything. I said, no, you're not. I'm going with you, me and you're going to do this. And both of us together said, how about if we get you a hotel room? You can have anything you want to eat, order whatever it is, just charge it to me and Jerry. We got him a suite hotel. The kids went slap crazy. They had never seen that before. It was
and
a
they
wonderful
said,
thing.
We said, order room service.
Order room had, service.
And the, what's I think room the, service? The porter brought their bags to the room or whatever.
It was
royal
just
treatment.
We fixed the car. We paid for everything. Not bragging at that. It was just being a blessing. Why could we do that? Because both of us were people of substance. Mm. And we taught that lady and taught them children. They'll never forget it. In other words, God is going to help you if you're willing to do whatever it takes to get there. And she did whatever it took to get to that meeting. And she didn't care if she had to sleep in the car and the kids, because kids can sleep just about anywhere. It's just amazing. You know what I'm saying to me? So those children could hear the word of God.
You know, there was a time in Jerry and Carolyn's life, if you hear their testimony going back, that they did pretty much the same thing when they wanted to go to meetings. They planned to sleep in the car with the kids.
That's right.
And God had, look what God had brought them. So it came to a point where they were able to help someone else. And I haven't heard the end of this woman's story. Well, if we meet her in heaven, which we hope we do, we'll hear the rest of that story. Maybe the mother.
Well, we taught
her
a good thing. I bet you she ain't sleeping in cars no more.
That's right.
I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it's okay to have substance. It's okay to be rich or extremely wealthy. As long as you don't fall in love with that stuff.
Right.
I think you misunderstood my statement. You don't understand the weight and the gravity. When you fall in love with God, you don't have enough time to fall in love with anything else. Because God is in everything, everywhere, to be a blessing to his kingdom. So start where you are and don't let time defeat you. And you know what? Don't be moving your prosperity. And when God blesses you, which he will, shows you how to get out of that hole, he will plentifully reward you because you were willing to do something. I was raised very poor, and I wasn't ashamed of that. My mom and dad did the best they could. That's all I can tell you. But I decided I would not be poor. But I wasn't mad at the poor people. I remember when I went to high school, you wasn't allowed to wear jeans. That's all I had. That's it. And I remember that some of the kids made fun of me. High school started in the ninth grade when I was young, you know. But I just had jeans, and the school said, you're not supposed to wear jeans, you're supposed to wear slacks and stuff like that. I said, well, I don't have any. Did it hurt my feeling? No, it did. Yeah, it embarrassed me. And so I told the principal, and they actually sent me to the office. And I said, well, sir, I don't have any slacks. I said, all I got is jeans. And I think it touched him. He said, you wear the jeans you want. That'll be fine. And everything. But I made up my mind one day I'm going to get me a pair of slacks. Yeah. So I went. I had me a job. I went to a place called Earl's Haberdashery. And I don't know if y'all probably remember that. And I bought a pair of Farrah. I don't know if they make that brand anymore. Farrah slacks. And I thought, look at here. And I saw some socks. And they had, back in the days, you matched your shirt with your socks. Yeah. But I can't remember. Gold cuff socks, something I can't remember. And I bought me a pair of socks.
You know, I remember when we dated, you always had your socks always matched the color of your shirt.
Oh,
it was like
yeah.
a pale blue shirt. You had pale blue socks.
Yeah.
Little fuzzy socks.
But
it wasn't
know what?
Thin. That was the yellow. You had the yellow socks.
Oh, I had a yellow sock. And now
you was a snappy dresser.
I was a snappy dresser.
Now I am a fashionista.
I went full circle. I'm back to the jeans. I love jeans. I just like wearing jeans. I wear jeans a lot of time. A sport coat, jeans, either sneakers or a cowboy boy. I like cowboy boys too, and all those things. I'm saying all this to say that, listen, God wants to bless you. And can I pray for you right now before we go off the air? I call it the air, but I mean up. Podcast here. Father, in the name of Jesus, help people to understand what I'm saying.
Thank you, Lord.
That when you fall in love with you, you don't have time to fall in love with nothing else. And God, I ask you to bless them so they can become blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, and blessed going out. Lord, it all starts with the seed. I know that. That's how you did it. And I ask you to do that and let this go off as revelation knowledge in people's lives today. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to talk to my partners for just a second. Whew. It touches my heart when I think about what you do for this ministry. You don't have to, but you do. You send in those wonderful offerings, and 100% of what you give goes into world evangelism. Why? Because we're reaching people, changing lives one soul at a time. And to make a long story short is I'm going to ask you, if you're not a partner, pray about becoming one. Well, you know, I'm partnered with a lot of people. Good. And don't stop being a partner to be a partner with me. God, you can do it all if you just let God do that for you. If you'd like to be a partner, you can go to our JDM.org website and hit a donate button. Any amount is wonderful. Mm-hmm. You can use PayPal if you like, or text to give, a one-time donation, or a recurring one. Or you can go to our free JDM app and give that way and select the giving you want on that app. Or you can mail in a donation through the post office or whatever. I hope you do that, because me and Kathy do everything I just told you. We are givers to this ministry. We don't ask you to do something we don't do.
Amen.
And I tell you, we got some projects going on in this ministry. And people say, when are you going to retire? I guess when God quits giving me projects, but we have two on the table that's going to cost us $20 million. But that's all right. We believe in God for 20,000 people to give $1,000. That's going to make somebody mad. None of it's going to me and Kathy. That's $20 million, and we're going to pay cash for everything because we've been debt-free since 1982. We also believe in God for a $20 million chunk giver, because that's called the replenish. Because I know as soon as we finish the thing, God's going to tell us to do something else, and that's fine. I don't mind doing the work. And like I say, we don't ask people to do something that we don't do ourselves. So I ask you to be a partner if you'd like to be. And I'm going to say this, the anointing of increase is on us. It's flat on us. My hundredfold anointing is on me, and I want it to come upon you. Mm. But before we close, I want to read a couple of testimonies.
Thank you.
Some wonderful ones. And read that, Kathy.
First, we have Dorothy says, good morning from Kenya. Juliet says, God bless you, Sister Kathy and Brother Jesse. We love you both. Love from Slovenia. We are praying that one day God will tell you both to visit us here in Slovenia.
I don't even know where that's at. I'm
sure it's in Europe. Anyway, Joseph says, come on, Brother Jesse. So thankful for you. When I was in prison, I read your books, and I listened to you when I got saved. Your books saw me through the hard times.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for saying that. That's so kind.
Yeah, because that's what
those are monies we do, too. We send books to prisoners and all kinds of different things. We do this all the time. Go ahead, Kathy. I'm sorry.
Cindy says, thank you. This message saved me tonight. People are being reached.
That's the best one right there.
That's right. And this one says, Brother Jesse, I saw this and I got stirred up. I had thoughts that tried to talk me out of speaking and talking faith, but now I'm doubling up, bro. Thank you. The word works. Glory to God.
That reminds me of my sister, Deborah. She always called me bro.
She did, hey, bro. But you were the bro.
I was the bro.
Luke says, I've been living by faith and teaching my children about Jesus.
Glory to God.
Love that. Stacy says, I'm so excited that I get the privilege of seeing you preach in person in Branson for the first time. And that'll be Friday night.
Yes, indeed.
This week.
We're doing our heaven tour.
That's right.
Ooh, first one.
You're in the Branson area. Make sure you be there. And you can't watch it online. This is an in-service event only, not online, just because it's
church
gonna be
only,
an intimate.
Church only. Theaters only. Call it what you want. You
it's
know?
A church.
It's a church. Go.
One last one, Manuel. This is translated from Spanish. It says, I'm 52 years old, and for the first time, I've heard a testimony that has reawakened my love for the gospel and of my beloved Lord. It was in your heaven testimony. I long to be with him. I love my Lord. So isn't that wonderful? So the heaven testimony reached this person and they in the Spanish.
That is proof
nations.
Positive. Right there. That is their words, not ours. And thank God we had the finance to go there.
Yes.
Thank God we was able to send books to a prisoner.
Right.
And all these different things. That's what we do. So I ask you to help us reach people, change lives, one soul at a time. This is Jesse and Kathy saying, I love you. It's okay to be rich.
That's right.
It's okay to be extremely lovely and
extremely
wealthy.
It's okay to be a blessing.
But remember the statement. When you fall in love with God, you don't have time to fall in love with nothing else. Because God is in everything, everywhere. See you next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.